welcome to this ISIS Chemical News Central podcast for Monday, the 27th of September 2010. I'm Simon Robinson.
And I'm Nigel Davis. We're bringing you a selection of the news published across the ISIS group over the past week. You can find us in all the usual places at www.isis.com.
Certainly can.
On Podomatic and on iTunes. And of course, you can download the RSS feed for this show from the latter two sites. Flurry of activity towards the end of the week, Simon.
Absolutely, Nigel.
And I think we'll get onto that later. Mm-hmm. Companies suggesting that the third quarter has looked a bit stronger than they expected.
That's right. BASF certainly did, didn't they?
Yeah, I was listening to the Eastman CEO talk last week at an analyst's briefing, and very upbeat about the third quarter and really about the full year too. But I mean, because we've had three strong quarters. But clearly, you know, there are concerns about where the global economy is going. Actually, the US Federal Reserve Board this week has given a warning that the US economy has slowed further and the central bank soon might have to take additional measures to boost the money supply and rekindle business and consumer spending.
Well, so, I've got some anecdotal evidence of that. I was in a cab going from some training I was doing with our team in New York down to JFK Airport, and on the radio, on the AM, nothing but adverts for how to reschedule your mortgage, lawyers that will help you reschedule your loans, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sounds like it's really tough for a whole bunch of people in the States.
Well, it still is, and it's pretty terrible for a lot of people. And, you know, if the US consumer is not spending, then large parts of the global economy aren't working perhaps the way that they should. But BASF did say in the week that their third quarter earnings will be better than expected. Strong demand in the summer, Jürgen Hambrecht, the CEO, said. Good performance in July and August, he told a media group, and the firm experienced good performance, and particularly in chemicals, where capacity use was high.
Excellent stuff. Well,
so, yeah, I mean, you know, pretty good news there.
That's right. And DSM have been in the news. They claim they've got this Strategy 2010, and they say they've got most of the way there.
They've got most of the way there, they reckon, on their 2010 strategy. Remember, they've had these five-year strategic targets.
That's right.
And, well, they're looking ahead now to possibly 2013 and beyond. But really, they want to continue this transformation into a materials and a life sciences company.
Sure.
They need to consolidate a bit in the pharma side of things, because clearly the pharmaceutical industry is not growing in the way that possibly they expected. But they're very big on materials, and they want to push materials growth, which they expect, I think, in some parts of the business to be at least two times GDP.
Wow.
And, you know, push some pretty hefty margins out of that business. And interestingly, they're talking about sustainability becoming a driver for the business, as opposed to just something which is nice to have.
Sure.
You know, eco products could account for a lot more. But the upshot of a lot of it is that they want to drive further into the fast-growing markets. So we're talking about China.
Yeah.
We're talking about other faster growing economies.
And I guess that sort of thing means that there's likely to be more corporate faces on the board within DSM who actually are Chinese and from those regions.
Well, that could well be the case. I mean, we were writing in the week that, you know, the company's going to pursue a strategy of making acquisitions and joint ventures and organic growth to get to build up its presence in China and Asia. They have room to make small or large acquisitions, they say, in the materials science business. They plan to shift the headquarters of businesses like their anti-infectives business and their engineering plastics and their fibre intermediates business to Asia.
Well, that's where the growth is. It makes a lot of sense to have your businesses headquartered where an innovation where the growth in the markets, you know, is happening.
Well, yes, I know. And companies increasingly are looking at global businesses, but global businesses headquartered, you know, clearly where the growth is. Mm. And we saw that this week with Solvay, which has got a new plan to cut costs and unfortunately lose 800 jobs worldwide.
What
they want to do is to create these global business units for specialty polymers and specialty chemicals. And the polymers businesses will be headquartered in Italy.
Yeah.
And the chemicals business in Seoul in South Korea. So that's an interesting move.
It is.
And its chemical segment would be organized more regionally. So Europe, North America, Mercosur, Asia Pacific. But, you know, quite a bit of change there within Solvay.
Solvay is a very interesting company because they seem to have quite a strong feeling of tradition and solidity. So to see them doing something like this, I think, is quite positive.
Yeah, but again, it's that push to, as I said, it's that push to high growth regions and the push to Asia.
And in their case, also saving, was it €65 million a year?